So Matthew 6, 22 through 23. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Sorry, I'm getting set up here for a second. So, last week, a week ago today, a rock star pastor, I don't like comparing pastors very much, but a rock star pastor in our denomination, in our conference, who pastors a church in Beaverton, her husband passed away very, very suddenly. Ted was an active member of the Free Methodist Church, and he was active in the national prayer ministry of the Free Methodist Church. And he passed away very, very suddenly. Carlene is the pastor of New Vision Fellowship, and she has been in a lot of pain and a lot of hurt during this time. I know that a lot of you have very busy and very active prayer lives. I ask that you would take some time today, whether it's in worship today or throughout your day or maybe at a couple of points throughout this week, to spend some time in prayer for Carlene in the midst of her loss. She has been caught like totally by surprise by this. She didn't have any warning at all. So I'd ask you to take some time to pray for her. Oh, children, do you want to go to children's church? Sweet. So this summer, I was walking out of an appointment on MLK Street. And right as I was walking out of this appointment on this very, very scorching hot day, I was thinking very quickly about how quickly I wanted to get to my car and my car's AC unit. So I was walking out the door to this appointment, I immediately looked to my right, and I saw a bunch of guys wearing these baggy basketball clothing. And boy, I always thought basketball clothing really, really loose fitting might be a little funky looking or a little weird looking. And I thought it looks a little goofy. But I saw that there was enough space that I could turn and walk right in front of them. So I turned and walked right in front of this group of people. And I started walking real quickly to my car. And as I was walking, I stepped over someone without even thinking about it. I stepped over someone who was leaning by the side of the building. And without giving it a second thought, I hopped in my car, turned on the engine, turned on the AC, and just started to turn the corner to drive away. And then I looked back at the corner where I just exited the door, only to realize that one of those goofy-looking guys in the goofy-looking basketball clothing had taken a moment to look at this guy laying on the sidewalk. He started waving to his friends and saying, guys, we need to check this guy out real quick. We need to make sure he's not dehydrated or that he isn't having heat sickness or something. And in my heart, I just realized that I had failed. That I had lived out the story of the Good Samaritan just in that moment right there. It only took 2 minutes. I lived out that story, and that I was the Levite, who walked over the person who was in need and isn't hurt. Over the next 8 weeks, we're going to take some time to talk about what does it mean to see other people with the eyes and the heart of Jesus in our lives. How does that affect the way that we should be living our lives? How does that affect the place and the status of our hearts? It's the distinction between seeing just with our own eyes and seeing with just our own heart, And also, but choosing instead to also see with the heart of God's Holy Spirit, with the heart of Jesus, with the Jesus-shaped part of our hearts leading us. This is what we'll be talking about for the next 8 weeks. We'll be talking about it both in the sense of how Jesus practiced this, about how Jesus chose to see other people, and we'll be also talking about how the early church, how the first followers of Jesus decided to practice this as well. The point being that this leading with this Jesus-shaped part of your heart isn't something that's undoable. It's not something that's unfathomable for you and me. It's something that each and every one of us can do and live out in our lives with a unique way that God has gifted us. Tell me real quick, what is our mission statement here at Grace Christian Fellowship? Sweet. You guys know it. Love God, love people, serve joyfully. And as we talk about this creed of ours almost every single Sunday, I hope you also know that this creed is formed by five intentional key values, right? Or strategic values that we call them. One of these is passionate worship. Another is loving fellowship. Another is strategic discipleship. Strategic discipleship, that's the one that I yap about all the time. Another one is joyful service, to be people who joyfully serve others in the world. Not just any kind of service, but do it joyfully. And then finally, the last one that we don't always give as much lip service as we want to is intentional outreach. And over these next 8 weeks, I think you're going to hear us talking a lot more about this intentional outreach. And what does it mean to be practicing this intentional outreach? And I think part of it means to be led with the eyes of Jesus, to be led with the Jesus-shaped part of your heart, to let that lead and guide your sight, and to guide how you understand other people and human situations and circumstances. In Matthew 6 is a rather basic teaching about how we see and how that affects the world. Most hilariously, it's built on bad biology. So in Jesus' day, Jesus' contemporaries and maybe even Jesus himself had the understanding that the eye was actually a little bit of like of a light emitter. It's like a low-powered flashlight. And that there's enough other light in the world as combined with the light that is in your eye that allows you the capacity to see what's in the world, to understand it. Now, this doesn't line up well with modern science at all, it turns out. Modern science says the exact opposite, that there's light in the world and that your eye is just an organ that receives light and then actually reinterprets that light actively in your brain. In fact, what's really, really weird about talking about eyeballs is your eyeballs actually has a couple of blind spots in it that each and every one of you has, like, right now. But many of you, your brain is working super fast to actively reconstruct an understanding of the world around those blind spots in your brain. It's totally crazy. But in this same sense, Matthew 6, I don't think, is actually talking about the light cones in our eyes. Instead, it's talking about the light cones in our soul, is it not? This is a teaching about how the status and the way of our soul affects and understands the world around us. Now, a cheap interpretation of this passage, I think, would say that, well, if you have the light of God in you, then you're certainly going to be an optimist. And you're going to be super happy to be an awesome optimist. And if you've got the darkness of whatever, of sin in your life, then obviously you're going to be a pessimist and going, pessimist. But rather, I think that this allows us a pretty poor or shallow understanding of the light and the darkness that is around us in every day of our lives, or in the darkness of our own hearts. Maybe the light in ourselves help us to understand of taking in the fullness of the picture of where God is around us. The fullness of the beauteous and the dark picture of the world around us, to see all the good and all the bad, not just one or the other, but to see all these things with the power of the Spirit of God inside us. This is a teaching that I think is deeply, deeply connected to prayer. It's deeply connected to our relationship, our ongoing dialogue that we have with the Spirit of God in our lives. In fact, you might skip over it, but this passage that we're talking about today, that the eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? This teaching that seems like a basic wisdom teaching is deeply connected in prayer, and that it happens to be in Matthew chapter 6. The first part of Matthew chapter 6 is a unique instance in all of the Gospels. It is the only time we see Jesus' disciples walk up to Jesus and say, "Jesus, how in the world do you do this?" And you know what they say? They say, "Jesus, how in the world do you pray?" Of all the unique capacities and aspects of who Jesus is, they ask, "Jesus, how do you pray?" And Jesus gives them this very short prayer. It's not a long, robust one. It's a short prayer. And then Jesus, unpacking his teaching on prayer, begins to say, "Well, you got to know that you don't want to pray in order to be like super showy and grandiose. Pray in humility. And at the same time, don't fast or do spiritual practices in order to be cool and grandiose. Do them humbly and with respect to God." And then he talks about this teaching on our sight. Because how we pray and how we listen to our soul, how we listen to the way God is working in us, affects the way we see the world. When we are in places of hurt in our own lives, in my own life, it's easy for me to become some cynical jerk, or maybe even to ignore other people or to treat people wrongly in some way. Or to get an understanding or see people in a picture that is completely out of balance. Now, most of us are 21st century people, and we have these phone devices on us, right, that have all these screens. And there's some things we take for granted about these screens. One is that these screens ultimately only produce 3 colors. If you zoom in really, 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 really small, that this screen is just a series of dots, pixels we call them, that are blue, green, or red. We call it RGB in the tech world. There are only one of these 3 dots, but you have to zoom in so far in order to see them. And it's when you zoom out a ways that you see an individual color, right? A unique color that's created by all these pixels or all these dots of different colors. And it's when you zoom out again that you get the big picture of what's actually going on your whole phone. But sometimes when we're in darkness, when our soul is not enlightened, we zoom in just and nitpick at the individual little pixels. We fail to get the big picture. We just look at the tiny little pixels and say, "Well, I think there should be more red right here, and I think there should be more blue right here, or I think there should be more green right here, and it's not quite right." We zoom in on these tiny little pixels. Jesus wanted God's light, wanted God's instruction made alive and made active in the world. God's instruction is something that is to help guide us and to help build us up in the ways of God. It's to help us see and understand who is hurt and who is hurting in our community, whose grace of God needs to be given to, and who needs to be loved in particular. And I think this is why Jesus had a hard time with the Pharisees. Because, so if you know what a Pharisee is, the Pharisees are Jesus' contemporaries who like, really were so uptight about the law that they kind of, like, were too uptight about the law. And they used the law, they used God's instruction, they used scripture to nitpick at people. Instead of using it to bring life to people's life, they used it to say, well, your glasses aren't quite good enough. Your glasses aren't quite good enough. Well, that isn't good enough about you. They point at individual people and say, well, this individual thing isn't quite right. They'd use it to nitpick at all these people. Now, I'm sure everyone in here enjoys being nitpicked, right? Drives me crazy when I feel like this is happening to me. I like turn all red, and they're like, and then they're winning the pixel argument, right? Well, yeah, that's more red. That's what I was talking about. And I'm like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. You're not getting the big picture. But this is what happens when we as people aren't being lit up by scripture, when we aren't being lit up by Jesus, is we begin to nitpick at other people or nitpick at other human situations or human problems around us. We become just like the Pharisees with their scripture, saying, you aren't good enough like this, you aren't good enough like that. Yet this doesn't accurately depict the eyes and the sight of Jesus. Jesus would look at you, look at me, might find some kind of barrier, something that wasn't right in that person's life, some kind of ailment perhaps, some kind of pain perhaps. But Jesus' sight does not stop there. Jesus' sight does not stop at that pain or that hurt or that sin. Jesus' sight pierces through those things still and sees the whole picture of who we are, sees the whole picture of who you are. Jesus sees you in all of your sin and brokenness and also in all of your beauty. Jesus sees all that is beautiful in you, even when others around you cannot see that beauty. That is the power of Jesus' own sight. Do you wish to have this sight in you? At least this sight just to see yourself? Instead of just nitpicking at the individual RGB dots on your phone, or nitpicking at the individual little pixels inside yourself, or someone else perhaps. To find the freedom to find all of yourself in your own sight, or to see others truly and fully. If we are to follow the story of the Gospels through and through, looking at the accounts of every time Jesus' sight sees through the individual ailments of someone's life, I think we can see clearly that Jesus all along is guided by God's Holy Spirit. By the gift of God's Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. That Jesus didn't do those things by being mighty and powerful in and of himself. Jesus did these things by channeling the power of God's Spirit, by listening to the Spirit of God inside himself. And this is exactly what we are supposed to do. To hear the guiding, loving voice of God in our hearts. To be strangely warmed by the presence of God's Spirit. And to see where that spirit, that strangely warming spirit, might be active and working in our world around us. This is exactly what the people of the early church did, what the church fathers and mothers did, what the earliest of saints did, is they chose to put, the trite way of saying this is trying to put, they put on a different pair of glasses, but really I think they led with a different part of their heart. Is that they chose to see other people with the Jesus-shaped part of their heart. They saw people who were cast aside, cast asunder by society, maybe for legitimate reasons, and said, for you, I believe God can bring redemption. And I believe that God can see the full picture of who you are, and not just some broken, half-hearted picture. That God doesn't just see the pixels. This is what it means to love and to see people in the Imago Dei, in the loving image of God. And this is probably one of the craziest thoughts that I think we keep coming back to over and over and over again here in our church. That seeing people in God's holy, created, loving image is one of the most radical thoughts and practices of understanding of who a human person can be. It's counter everything of human cultures and human kingdoms. Jesus said, love your enemies, correct? In relation to this Imago Dei type thing. I think it's funny to note that any political party, not just like in the United States today, but any political party I know of in human history, often relies on the reality of there being an enemy of some kind. Almost every human political party says, well, there's this person who's just too dumb or not cool enough to exist. They're our enemy. Let's go give them one in the shucker. Something like that. Almost every human political party says this. Everyone that I know of, at least. And yet, if we are to be honest about loving our enemies, then we are supposed to see those enemies as created in God's image. That those enemies as people deserving of redemption. Deserving of being seen in a full picture, not just nitpicking at those others. Just in case you didn't make the connection yet, our enemies are also people we love to nitpick at. And yet we are not called to nitpick at our enemies. We are called to see the full picture of who they are. In whatever sin and brokenness might be going on, but also in all of their beauty. This is the power to see past those people who think that cake is better than pie. I mean, what kind of thing happened where they thought that cake was better than pie? This is just a stressful thought in my brain. I've realized recently there are people who think cake is better than pie, and I can't handle it. I don't know what went wrong, where God's redemption's needed in their life, but clearly, there's such a reality where I might be getting a little too worked up here on cake and pie, but God's sight in my heart allows me to see past that and hopefully bring redemption to someone's life. Oh no, I'm getting off track again. It allows us, though, to see past those who are different than us. It allows us to see past each other's differences, whether those differences are race or ethnicity or ability of some kind. We, instead of just seeing past them, we can see our reflected humanity in all of them, in fact. That we can actually begin to celebrate some of these things and see and how much coolness this Imago Dei is reflected. We can see past the sin and the brokenness and people's hearts and people's lives and see the full picture of who God created these people to be. But we can only do so if we have the light of God working in our hearts and working in our lives. It all starts by being strangely warmed by the loving presence of Jesus. So this morning, I think I'm going a little bit short. I've got a few things that I hope you, if you look at your bulletin notes, I think Meredith and Maria were pretty good at trying to give everyone a bulletin. I hope you'll take some time to look at the back real quick, and I've got a few things for you. One is I want to ask the question of, how does Jesus see you? This is a moment for you to be real true with your soul. Now, granted, at this church, you know, we like can spit it off with like it's dogma that Jesus absolutely loves and adores you and thinks you're awesome and created in his image. But sometimes we have circumstances and we have hurt in our life that makes it not feel that way. I've spent a fair amount of my short life so far working with folks in difficult circumstances, in particular those folks who are living on and off the street. And one of the challenges that I've come to figure out is the most difficult about trying to love and minister to people living on the street is that sometimes your life situation and circumstances are so hard that you can't believe that you're created in the image of God. And what I need to do, what my role becomes, is to simply believe and have faith for that other person, that they're created and loved in the image of God. It's just like it's Mark chapter 3, right? In Mark chapter 3, there's this story of a paraplegic, and Jesus is surrounded by a crowd in a house. And so it's the paraplegics, all his friends get together, and they hoist him on top of the roof, and they dig a hole in the roof and lower this guy into the presence of Jesus. And what Jesus says to this paraplegic, he says, the faith of your friends has healed you. Sometimes we need to be that faithful friend that brings healing, that believes that this other person is created in the image of God, even when they can't believe that themselves. Take some time. How does Jesus see you? If you don't feel like Jesus sees you in a way of warmth and love and kindness, take some time. Find another friend. Find a brother and sister in Christ who will walk with you and hearing that message once again. And going along with our site, I think I'd like you to find one person for the next 8 weeks and to say, what is one human person, one person in your life that you need to see with the eyes of Jesus, that you need the Jesus-shaped part of your heart to lead the way that you see and understand a person? So, there could be an argument said for like doing all everybody around you. I want you to all, I also love the idea of each and every one of us picking one person who we are intentionally loving, that we are intentionally giving Christ-like love to, and that we are choosing to see with new eyes. And I ask the question, how can you love and care for that person over the course of this next 8 weeks? Is there a way that you can reach out to this person to let them know that wherever they stand on the religiosity, faith-based stuff spectrum, that they are created in God's image and they are worthy of being loved by God and worthy of being known? How can you reach that person with Christ-like love? Finally, write your own prayer, interacting and hearing the Spirit of God within you, to say, how can I love this other person? And how can my soul persist in this love? This morning, we come to the table of Jesus. We come to the table of God. And on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and he said, this is my flesh, my physical body that's broken for you. Do this when you remember me. Receive who I am. Receive my grace. Receive my body. And he took the cup and he said, this is the blood of my covenant poured out for you and for all. It's the blood of seeing a new way in the world. It's the blood of a new kingdom. It is the giving of new life to each and every one of us. Take this and bring it unto others. And this morning, Jesus calls you. Jesus doesn't call you by happenstance. Jesus calls you with intention. Jesus calls you by name. Jesus calls you and welcomes you to refill your heart, to refill your soul, to be strangely warmed, and to pass that warmth along. This morning, Stephanie and I will be up here, and as you come forward, we will serve every one of you. There will also be, Bud and Julie will be coming around, I think, too. Just Julie. Julie's going to be coming around, too. But as we do this, as our hearts are warmed by the table of Jesus, as they are warmed by worship, ask the question, with whose eyes do you love others? And with where is the Jesus-shaped part of your heart leading you? Amen.